And we just trust that you'll be blessed this evening. We're just going to continue sharing some thoughts in this area of faith, on the voice of faith. And I believe it'll help us some more. You know, the more you look at something, the more you meditate upon it, you become persuaded. And not only are you persuaded, but you begin to voice and speak those things you're persuaded of. So I want to share a little bit along that line tonight. Sunday, we were sharing a message on voice activated. And I was just sharing how the Holy Spirit had just reminded me before service on Sunday on all the feature-friendly, I call them feature-friendly devices that we have today. And I'm certainly not opposed to them. I like them. Sometimes they make, you know, our things that we do easier to do. But let's not get so dependent on them. You know, sometimes I've said to somebody one time, you know, I certainly remember the days when we didn't have, you know, GPS, and we didn't have satellite GPS and all of these things. And, you know, all the comforts, you know, I remember when trying, you know, kind of telling myself here, but I remember, you know, going through engineering school and college where we didn't have computers to figure things on. We had a slide rule, you know, a slide ruler where we had to calculate things, and we didn't have computers to just sit there or calculators to do things. And now you can probably do it on your phone, and I know you can because I've seen the formulas, but it's just gotten to the place where things think for us and do for us, and I'm certainly not opposed to it, but we don't want to get to the place where we don't think and we don't, you know, think things through, and so we can just be too dependent on things and not hearing the Holy Ghost and hearing God within our hearts and our spirits. I was sharing with somebody recently, you know, that we've gotten so dependent on telling a device on how to get somewhere that we just don't even think. And it's, you know, I enjoy the convenience of it, but I also listen in my spirit and keep my heart open so that I'm not so dependent on that machine and that device. And it's really setting this world up for this next thing that's about to be unearthed or be exposed in this earth and this end time, where people are just dependent on a machine. And so anyways, that's not the message tonight, but I just share that we need to have faith in God, and we need to be persuaded that He lives in us and that He's leading us and guiding us into all truth. So I was sharing, you know, along those lines of all the devices that we have, you know, our watches and our phones and our TVs and all the various gadgets, I call them, that we have, that they are what? Voice activated. And those devices respond to a command. And, you know, that those devices are there to serve you, you could say. And if you don't give them a command, it'll just sit there waiting to serve you. And your spirit is the real you. Like the soil is there to produce or serve to you a harvest. And so it will not do that unless you do what? Plant a seed in the ground. So that seed really is what? It's a goal setter. If you want to know what that farmer is going to produce, what his goal is, it's the seed that's planted in the ground. If you want to know what your goal is, you personally, then it's something that you need to do what? Speak and voice. And something that you are what? Persuaded of. When you're persuaded of something, then you're going to speak it and you're going to voice it. And this is what we were sharing. You know, I was sharing something at prayer today, our noontime prayer. And if you have time to join us on Wednesdays, it's a good time to connect with us. But I was sharing something that Brother Mark Hankins, who's a minister of the gospel, and he was sharing something that he experienced. And he said, you know, how many of you have flown, you know, a commercial flight, and you're sitting in the exit aisle? And he said, what do they normally do before they take off? The stewardess or representative will come up and will ask you a question. They're not going to ask anybody else, but they're going to ask those that are seated in the exit aisle. They're going to say, are you capable or are you able, willing and able to help if there's an emergency? And he said, he just nodded. He nodded. This is his story. He nodded to the stewardess, and she said to him, I don't need your nod. I need your affirmation. I need your voice to tell me whether or not you are able and willing. And so after that, he said the Holy Ghost said to him, a lot of my people, meaning in the church, are nodding at the word of God, and they're not voicing the word of God. They're not speaking it. They're just nodding. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I thought, really good. And so a lot of times we need to take stock of what are we nodding at and what are we voicing? Because if you're persuaded of something, you will voice it. You will speak it. And so those things that we're persuaded of, we speak. And so let's open up our lesson. I just wanted to share those points and open up our lesson this evening in Hebrews 11. Well, let's start with Mark 11:22. And this is Jesus answering his disciples. He said, they're asking him, Master, notice the fig tree that you cursed. And then he began to tell them, he said, Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And this, I wanted to pick up here again with Hebrews 11:6, and I wanted to look at this from the standpoint of being persuaded, not only voice activating what we were talking about Sunday, but being persuaded. And Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, this is the King James, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, having faith in God, cometh to God, must do what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And let's look at the New Living Translation, then I want to make a point here. It says in the New Living Translation of Hebrews 11:6, it says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now, this word faith, when it says "but without faith" in both translations, but in the King James, "but without faith, it is impossible to please him." This word faith is the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it means persuasion. So without persuasion, it's impossible to please him. So a lot of times, you know, we say, oh yes, I have faith. But if you have faith, then you are persuaded of something. You're persuaded of something God has said, something God has promised in his word. You are persuaded, not in your head, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the persuasion that we're talking about is the God kind of faith, the God kind of persuasion. And that comes from God. So in his word is impregnated with faith. It's impregnated with him, his nature. And so this word of faith is to be persuaded or assured, or you could say convinced or confident. But I wanted to focus on that word pistis. It means persuasion. And in Romans 10:17, in the King James, so it's telling us in Hebrews 11:6 that without persuasion, it's impossible to please God. But then in Romans 10:17, it tells us how this persuasion comes. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then this God persuasion cometh by hearing. So when you say, are you persuaded? Well, if you're not persuaded, then how do you get persuaded? It's by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And then let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. So you see how this persuasion comes, this God kind of being persuaded, and then what happens when you are persuaded of something. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, in the King James Version, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, and I'm just using these scriptures where faith is highlighted, it's the same Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. So even in this verse, we having the same spirit of persuasion, it's the same Greek word, pistis. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I what? Spoken. We believed, and therefore speak. Therefore, it says, and therefore, because of that, we, it says, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So when this says here that this same spirit of persuasion, what this is, we know how it comes. Faith cometh, or persuasion cometh, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But once it comes, what are we supposed to do? Speak. So here God is showing us in his word that if you are persuaded of something, if you have faith, then the next thing is to do what? Speak it. And to say what you believe. So we say, you could say it another way, we speak, or we say what we are persuaded of. Or we could say, when we are persuaded of something, it does what? It moves us to action. It moves us to act. And that first action is speaking. So when I'm moved or persuaded of something, then my first act or action is speaking. Speaking what? Speaking what I'm persuaded of. Speaking what I believe. And so this is so important because a lot of times people are nodding at the Word of God, but they're not persuaded of the Word of God. So when we find ourselves in a position where we're not persuaded, then what do we need to do? We need to keep speaking the Word of God, because that persuasion will come by us hearing ourselves speak the Word of God. So even when you find yourself not understanding something, take God at His word. Have faith in God. He's faithful that promised. That's what the word in the word, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, and it says have faith in Him. But Hebrews 10:23, I'll just turn over there a moment, and when we look at Hebrews 10:23, it tells us that we are to do what? Let me just turn there. And it tells us and I'll just pull up a couple of different translations here. Just bear with me as I pull that up. But let me just get that. Well, we'll skip. I'll pull that up in a moment. But the point I'm making is that we are to speak what we believe. And if we don't, then we're in essence, we're not persuaded if we don't speak what we believe. And let's take a look at Romans 1:16. And it says in the King James, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. That's the dunamis or miracle working power of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And this is the Good News translation of Romans 1:16. It says, I have complete confidence in the gospel, for it is God's power to save all who believe, first the Jews and also to the Gentiles. So we need to have what? Complete confidence in the gospel, in the Word of God. And that persuasion and that confidence, when we have it, we will speak it. And again, if you're not confident or you're not persuaded, keep speaking, because God is faithful. Keep speaking the Word of God, and it will do what? It will release faith. It will release this persuasion. It'll release the ability of God into your life. So God's Word in your mouth produces a force called faith in your spirit, a force or a persuasion in your spirit. And what is abundantly in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in abundance in your heart gets back into your mouth. Now let's take a look. I'm going to get to some stories that we have in the Bible, some events, but let's look at Hebrews 11:1. And in the King James, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now this word faith, when it says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, this word faith, again, is the same word that we used previously here in Hebrews 11:6, Romans 1:16, and we used it in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and same thing here. It says, now faith, this word is pistis, which is persuasion. So you could really say, now persuasion is the substance of things expected or hoped for. So we're just laying a groundwork here to say, when you are persuaded, then it's the substance or the ground on which your expectations are. So when you're expecting something, you're persuaded. And so we can see that. Let's just read one other. This is the Berkeley translation. And this is Hebrews 11:1. It says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for or what is expected. And you could say, but persuasion forms a solid ground for what is expected. So when I expect something, I'm speaking it. This is what we saw from 2 Corinthians 4:13. And let's look at God's Word translation of Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith assures us of things we expect. Or you could say, faith persuades us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. So our faith or our persuasion is expressed in things we expect. So when I expect something, it's really my persuasion speaking. It's what I'm persuaded of being expressed. And let's take a look at some examples here in the Gospels. Let's take a look at first, I want to take a look at Luke. And I believe it's Luke chapter 8. Starting in verse 17. I think that's what it is. I hope I'm not giving you the wrong. I think that's what it is. Luke 8:17. And it says, one day when Jesus was teaching, and either 8:17 or 5:17, one or the other. Let me double check that. Maybe I just put that in wrong. It's Luke 5:17. I'm sorry. Not 8:17. 5:17 in the King James. It says, one day when Jesus was teaching, Some Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every town in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And then it says, and the what? And the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. And it said, and some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed, and they tried to carry him into the house and put him in front of Jesus. Because of the crowd, however, they could find no way to take him in. So they carried him up on the roof, made an opening in the tiles, and let him down on his bed into the middle of the group in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw how much faith they had, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven, my friend. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees began to say to themselves, who is this man who speaks such blasphemy? God is the only one who can forgive sins. And so Jesus continues, but the reason I wanted to bring this event out is because they were persuaded of something they needed and they couldn't get to it. So what did they do? They didn't give up. They were persuaded that what they needed was in that house and the healing power of God was present to heal. So what did they do? They got, it says, they brought this man on a bed and they brought him up on the roof. Four of them brought him up on the roof and they made an opening in the roof and they lowered him down in front of Jesus. And what? He said, when he saw their faith. Well, how do you see that? He saw their persuasion. He saw that they were persuaded in what? Getting to where he was. And so what did he do? In this story, he continued and he chastised the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And he knew that, you know, they were thinking some thoughts, and he said, you know, why do you think such things? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven you or to say get up and walk? And he said, I will prove to you then that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, pick up your bed and go home. And then, of course, he did. And so what we're sharing here is that their persuasion was evident. It was on full display, as you could say. So they were persuaded to get to what they needed. And they were convinced or persuaded that Jesus would heal him. Now let's look at a similar event, the centurion. In the King James Version of Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. And we're really just bringing these stories out because you have to do what? You have to voice or speak what you're convinced of, what you're persuaded of. And when we're persuaded of something, we're going to do something. You know, everybody, just in the natural, when you're persuaded of something, you begin to do what? You begin to move and to take some action. Sometimes that first action is, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to, you know, go after this. And then there's a follow-up with that. But the point is that you became persuaded of something where? In your heart. And you did something. I mean, just in the natural, you know, when you became persuaded, just in the area of, you know, whatever that is, you know, just take a simple example. When you became persuaded that you were to become married to someone, then you moved in that direction. You were persuaded. You expressed your love and desire to do that. And when there was agreement, there was what? there were vows that were exchanged. Those vows were what? Voiced and expressed and exchanged. And when they were, the power of God came into existence or to be manifested when those vows were exchanged, and the power of God came into manifestation to make those two spirits one. And so let's take a look at Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. And it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." So now Jesus is expressing to him that he'll take care of it. He'll heal him. And so the centurion answered what? He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." So what are we saying? He began to speak that which he was persuaded of. He was persuaded. He must have heard. Why did he come to Jesus? He came believing that he is the Savior, he's the healer, and he believed that he would reward, he would do something. And so he came believing that, expecting it. And so he came persuaded. And so he just said, I'm persuaded. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And what did Jesus, and he and this centurion went on and said, "For I am a man under authority." First he said, "I'm under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of heaven, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And he said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you," or thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So this centurion had great expectation. Why? Because he had great faith in Jesus. Jesus even said, "I've not seen or found so great faith, no, not in Israel." So his faith, his great faith was reflected in this expectation, great expectation. So you can't have great faith and a small expectation. Or your persuasion is commiserate, or it's a reflection of what you're persuaded of. So start where you're at, but keep feeding your faith. How does your persuasion grow? By the word of God, by the revelation from the word of God. So it's no different that when the word of God says that, you know, the harvest that we receive is going to be based upon the seed that we plant. So I believe that if we keep feeding on the word of God, that our persuasion in God and in his word and in his promises expands, or you could say grows, or it enlarges. And so God will then have us sometimes reach out for what? Bigger things. Bigger things, bigger expectations, because now I can do that. I can have that. I can take that. And how did that come? From meditating on the Word of God, meditating on the scriptures, where my expectation, my persuasion expands and grows to the place where I reach out and take something that's bigger than I can understand or bigger than I can grasp. But he's put within us the ability and the persuasion to take things. That's what I was sharing at prayer today, that sometimes when we're not persuaded, or that persuasion comes, where God is saying, we are seated with him, where? In heavenly places, in Christ, and I'm to rule and reign from that place. So how do I become persuaded to rule and reign from that place? Well, I become persuaded by feeding on the Word of God. And he has put us there to reign from that place. But if you're not persuaded of that, then you won't act and speak like that. So it's the same thing here. The centurion was fully persuaded, and he spoke like it. Now let's take one more look. This is the woman with the issue of blood. Starting, and this is the King, actually I want to read this from the Amplified Classic from Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 25. And it says here, and there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years, and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but instead grew worse. Verse 27. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. See, this is where faith came. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. Verse 28, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, verse 30, and Jesus recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing around hard around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust, your confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Let's go back. I want to look at this again in verse 34 of this chapter, Mark 5, Mark 5, 34, in the Amplified. It says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith. And then, of course, the Amplified, it says, your trust, your confidence in me, springing from faith in God. Well, this word again, your trust and confidence in me springing from your persuasion in God. So you're persuaded that God is going to do something, and you have what? Trust and confidence, and it's what? It's spoken. It's expressed. I'm going to say something. I'm healed, just like this woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, because that's what he said. He said, your faith, your trust and confidence springing from your faith or your persuasion in God. So when we're persuaded from the word of God of something that God has promised us, then I have trust and confidence that he will bring it to pass. Because this is Isaiah chapter 55, 11. He said he watches over his word to perform it. He brings it to pass. He's faithful, that promised in Hebrews 10, 23. So we need to, as we meditate upon these things, we need to remind ourselves that God is faithful, and that this faith, this persuasion that we have is springs up inside of us from the word of God. And Hebrews 10:23, let me go back to that because I was referencing that in the King James. It says, so let us hold fast the what? The profession of our faith without wavering. In other words, let us hold fast the confession of our persuasion. In other words, what we're persuaded of, let's hold fast the confession of that. I'm persuaded. So your persuasion, your faith must be expressed in what you say. Otherwise, you're just nodding. You're just nodding. Yep. Mm-hmm. God is good. God is the healer. I trust him. Well, that's great. But are you persuaded enough to say something? And I think this is really what I was trying to get across here tonight by the Holy Ghost, is that are you persuaded? And when you are persuaded, then you're going to speak that which you are persuaded of. And if you haven't reached that point or you're not in that place, God is faithful. And you take these principles and continue to speak what you expect. Your head may get in the way and try to, you know, throw fits, but speak knowing that God is faithful and that his word, and when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, the word of God, and Romans 10, 17, faith, persuasion comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So if you're not at that point of being fully persuaded, or not at a point where you're persuaded of those things that you speak, keep speaking the word of God, and that persuasion will grow. It'll increase on the inside of you. Praise God. Well, keep feeding, keep watering, and God will bring to pass the things that you're speaking. For whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. So when you're persuaded, then it's kind of hard to find doubt in a heart at that point. You're fully persuaded that what you say will come to pass. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life and health to our flesh. And we thank you, Father, that as we meditate upon the word and we keep feeding upon it, that our level and our growth of being persuaded increases and expands and grows, where we become fully persuaded of something and we don't waver. And so we thank you, Father, for working in our hearts to expand and from the Word of God, and that the Word has within it faith. And so we thank you that it's growing in us, and we thank you that we believe and therefore we speak. In Jesus' name. Well, if you're here with us this evening and you're watching, and I'll just say another way, if you are not fully persuaded, or I could say it this way, are you persuaded that you are born again? Well, if you're not persuaded, then God shares in his word how we can become that. He shows us how we can receive salvation, and he shares in his word in Romans 10, 9 and 10. He said, if you do what? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So we're coming to him, we're confessing him as Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved or born again. So you're professing his lordship. You're professing that he came here to die for mankind and to redeem them of their sins. And you're doing what? Believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you do that, and if you did that, so let's make a simple profession of faith. Father God, I thank you and come to you in the name of Jesus, and I profess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. He is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I ask him into my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. And your word says that you will. And I believe that you have. You're changing me. You've changed my spirit. You've cleansed me with the blood of Jesus. And I now profess that I'm born again and saved. And if you made that simple prayer from your heart, then you can email us to the ministry at rlcc@redeeminglovecc.org, or you can send us a note in the mail, or call us 845-623-9300. And we'll send you some information about who you have become in Christ.